You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
We're in Romans chapter number 8, and let's look down together beginning in verse 5. I'll read down through verse 14, and I may have you read verse 14 with me after I read it. But Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse 5, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye lived after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." Would you read verse 14 with me? Ready, begin. "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." I'd like to preach a message this morning entitled, "Led by the Spirit of God." Let's pray together. Father, we thank you so much for what we've heard this morning already. Every song, what a choir, what a blessing, every special. And God, I pray that you would continue to do the working you've already begun in this service. Hide me behind the cross of Calvary. May not one person hear from John Evertson, but Lord, from your Spirit. Lord, as your Spirit communicates your word to every heart, I pray you do so. I pray, Lord, for the lost that don't know for sure they're on their way to heaven to come to Christ today. And Father, for your people to be edified, Lord, through your word is my prayer. I pray that you would empty me, Lord, of self and cleanse me of sin, and that, Lord, you'd fill me with your Spirit and use me as a vessel this morning. I pray and ask these things in the precious and holy name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. You may be seated this morning. Thank you for standing. Sunday, January 14, 2018, Tony Lethbridge, who's a resident of Australia, was very concerned about his 17-year-old son, Samuel, who never came home the night before. Samuel had been in a nearby city visiting some friends, and Tony picked up the phone and called the police and filed a missing persons report, and the police seemed to think that Tony had run away. But his father knew better. His father knew his son, and he knew that his son had run away. And following his intuition, Tony got in touch with a man by the name of Lee Mitchell. Lee Mitchell was a man who was the pilot and part owner of Skyline Aviation. Tony, who was tired from being up all night and was very concerned about his son, told Mitchell, "I desperately need a helicopter." He went on to say, I've got $797 on me cash I can give you now. Is that enough?" And Mitchell agreed, knowing that his going rate was over $950 an hour. As they got in the air, within 15 minutes, they spotted Samuel's car. He had been in a terrible car accident, and this was a situation that was critical. His car was nearly impossible to see from the road, and so he hadn't been found. And Samuel was finally cut from the wreck of this vehicle 30 hours after the accident took place. The father's intuition saved the life of his son. Now, I don't know if either of those men know the Lord Jesus Christ, but I know this, for every born-again believer this morning, the Spirit of God indwells you and me, and as we're led by the Spirit of God, we can follow the intuition or the Spirit of God's leading in our life, which will lead to a world coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ. You realize the disciples really were able to see revival in their day as they turned the known world upside down for Christ in their generation. If we follow our Heavenly Father's all-knowing, all-powerful Spirit, we'll be used of God to reach this lost world. So we come to Romans chapter 8. It's dominated, the topic, by the Holy Spirit of God. The Spirit of God being mentioned at least 19 times in this chapter, we understand that the Holy Spirit of God desires to take control of our lives. So what does a Spirit-led Christian look like? And what are some decisions that a Spirit-led Christian makes in their life? And what are some guidelines for us as Christians to be Spirit-led? I want you to notice from our text this morning, first of all, a Spirit-led Christian allows the Holy Spirit to guide their mind and their thinking. Verses 5 through 7. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. It is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. I remember graduating from high school, telling my father I was going to go into the United States Army. My father was in the Navy and served in Vietnam. My grandfather was in the Army and served in World War II. And you could go back through many generations of men in our side of the family, father's side of the family, who served our country. And I remember my father looking at me. I'd missed Desert Storm by just a few years. And he said, "Son, you need to join the Lord's Army." I wanted to do what I wanted to do. But I'm thankful for a father, I'm thankful my mother's here as well, that encouraged me to be spiritually minded. A great example of the carnal mind is found in the story of Isaac. Isaac loved venison, and we see in Genesis chapter 27, the word venison, savory meat or eat, occur many times, and about 20 times. And the Bible tells us that Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison. Genesis chapter 25 and verse number 28 make that very clear. I'd like to read that to you. And Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison, but Rebekah loved Jacob. You see, we don't read that Isaac loved Esau because he was a man of God and he lived a holy life. Esau was not a man of God, and we see Isaac's carnal mindset by the mistakes that he made as you read and study Genesis chapter 27. We know that Isaac was blind or nearly blind, and his sense of taste deceived him. He mistook the goat's meat for the venison, and we know that his hand or his sense of touch deceived him as he felt the goat skin on Jacob and thought that, of course, it was his brother. And he thought he was feeling Esau's hairy hands at the time. And the smell of the field was on Jacob, and he thought it was Esau. You see, only his hearing did not deceive him, and he didn't trust that. By the way, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You see, the opposition of my carnal mind or my natural mindset, and we stop and consider the opposition of your carnal mind this morning, takes place as we're not led by the Spirit of God, and it's illustrated to us by Isaac's determination to give the patriarchal blessing to Esau. He knew that it was God's will for it to go to Jacob. But I want you to look with me at Romans 8 and verse 7. It says, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. Would you say that with me? Ready, begin. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. By the way, the Bible teaches that the church of Corinth was a carnal church when you study that out. We don't need more carnal churches in this day and age. We need Spirit-filled, Spirit-led churches. We need Christians today whose lives have been transformed because their minds have been renewed by the Word of God, Romans chapter 12. And there are countless Bible examples as we study the Scripture that show us of those who their mindset was carnal at the time. As we think of Abraham marrying Hagar, and we think of Lot choosing Sodom, and we think of Moses killing the Egyptian, and we think of Joshua making a treaty with the Gibeonites, and we consider Saul sparing the Amalekite cattle, and we think of Solomon's political marriages, and we think of Jonah running off and away from God to flee to Tarshish. Peter, I read this morning, who cut off Malchus's ear. And over and again, we see from the Bible people who made carnal decisions instead of being spirit-filled. And every one of us could testify this morning of poor decisions we've made, can't we? I thank the Lord for my mother, and she's given me the go-ahead to tell this story. And I feel badly because she came down to hear me preach this morning and pick my kids up. And so she's here to hear this story. But I remember being 4 years old and our family finally got to Disneyland. I'd never been. And I was so excited, as you could imagine, a four-year-old going to Disneyland would be. And I remember getting in line for Dumbo. How many of you have ever ridden Dumbo at Disneyland, all right? How many of you have ever seen Dumbo at Disneyland, but you've never ridden? Yeah, several of you probably have seen Dumbo, but not ridden it. And I'll tell you what, I don't know why people spend all that money to stand in lines, but they do, amen? And so we stood for what felt like eternity as a four-year-old. And we waited and we waited and we waited and we waited, and finally we got to get on to Dumbo. And my sister Kathy, I think, was with Dad, and then I was sitting with Mom, and then I think I had another sister with one of my aunts behind us. And Dumbo goes around in a circle, but there's a joystick, and you can push the joystick that'll lift you up and down. There's water below. And so we got on Dumbo, and we were going around. We got the ride going there, and we were going around in a circle, and everybody else's Dumbo started going up and going down and going up and going down. I was sitting there with Mom, and Mom was looking around. What's going on? What's wrong with our Dumbo? It's not going anywhere. How come theirs is going around? Ours is not going around. So she started waving at the attendant every time we would come around. You know, hey, ours is broken. You know, hey, ours is broken. And I reached out to grab the joystick, and Mom slapped my hand. Don't you touch that thing. It might eject us or something. The whole ride, we're sitting at the bottom, circling around. I'm 4 years old. Mom slapped my hand. I look back. I can see Kathy got a big smile on her face. She had her hand on the joystick, and she was going up and down, sticking her tongue out at me or something. I don't know what she was doing there, but... So finally, towards the end of the ride, I was so frustrated with sitting there. I reached out and grabbed the joystick. When Mom was looking the other direction, I grabbed it and pushed it up. And we started to come up. She goes, oh, there it goes. And she looked over and she saw me pushing the joystick up, you know. And just at that time, Dumbo started to come up, and then the ride was over. It came right back down like that. I didn't go back to Disneyland until my honeymoon. The family was not going to stand back in line for me to ride Dumbo. My sisters went to Disneyland two or three times without me, Pastor. And so on my honeymoon at Disneyland, I told the worker, the attendant there at Dumbo, the story. And I said, would you take a picture of my wife and I with my hand on the joystick so I can send it to Mom? The lady laughed so hard, she said, we are not allowed to do this. This goes against company policy, but I will do it for you. And so we took that picture and sent it to Mom just so she would see that I had the privilege to ride Dumbo. Amen. You know, the only way to avoid mistakes by our carnal mindset is to replace our mindset with the mindset of Christ. Philippians 2:5 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16, for who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And you know Philippians 4:8, finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. God told Eli, in 1 Samuel 2 and verse 35, that Samuel was a man that God was raising up that would do and fulfill the heart and mind of God. Paul told the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4 and 5, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of men's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. This morning, I asked the question, are you allowing the Holy Spirit of God to control your mind? Do you have a spiritual mindset? Not only does a Spirit-led Christian allow the Spirit of God to lead their mind, but the Holy Spirit of God then purifies their motive. In verse 8 and 9 of our text, look with me if you will. The Bible says, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. There's a big difference between being in the flesh and in the spirit, as Paul points out in our text. To be in the flesh is to be motivated by the desires of our flesh. But to be in the spirit is to be motivated by the Spirit of God. This passage distinguishes between the saved and between the unsaved as well. The unsaved do not have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God. And that's why in John chapter 3, Jesus told Nicodemus, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. He told Nicodemus, marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. My birthday is June 19th. I'm thankful for that day. And I'll remind you, as Brother Cooper reminded you, of his anniversary last week. Amen. And so, but you know, more importantly than my physical birthday is my spiritual birthday. Amen. There was a day when I realized that I was a sinner. And that Jesus was God wrapped in human flesh. He came to this sin-cursed earth and he died a substitutionary death as he laid down his hands willingly on the cross. They didn't have to pry his arms across that cross that day. And he shed his blood to pay for my sins, past, present, and future. And he paid for your sins. And he paid for the sins of the entire world. And that all we have to do by faith is believe on him and the price that he paid. I'm thankful he didn't stay dead on that third day. He rose from the grave. The same Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead now indwells me this morning. And if you're a born-again child of God, the same Spirit of God that raised Jesus from the dead indwells you this morning. What a thrill, what a blessing. Heaven came down. I love the song. And glory filled my soul. Born of the Spirit with life from above into God's family divine. Justified fully by Calvary's love. Oh, what a standing is mine. Are you a born-again child of God this morning? If you're here and you don't know that you've been born by the Spirit of God, I want to encourage you to make that decision today. That was the greatest decision I've ever made in all my life, is to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. In Jeremiah, Pastor mentioned this already this morning in chapter 17, verse 9 tells us that our hearts are deceitful above all things, and they're desperately wicked. Verse 10 tells us, I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doing. If there's anything that you grab a hold of as a believer this morning that I'd like for you to grab a hold of is that even the best Christians cannot properly evaluate their own motives unless they allow the Spirit of God to shine the light of the Word of God upon their conscience. I want to say that again this morning, because every Christian, even the greatest of Christians, cannot properly evaluate their motives unless they allow the Holy Spirit of God to shine the light of the Word of God on their conscience. I like what the poet wrote, search me, O God, my actions try, and let my life appear as seen by thine all-searching eye, to mine my ways make clear. Search all my sense and know my heart, who only canst make known. And let the deep, the hidden, and let the deep, the hidden, I lost my spot here. I don't know where I'm at here. And let the deep, the hidden part to me be fully shown. Throw light into the darkened cells where passion reigns within. Quicken my conscience till it feels the loathsomeness of sin. Search all my thoughts, the secret springs, the motives that control. The chambers where polluted things hold empire o'er the soul. This morning, would you allow the Spirit of God to search your motives? Not only do Spirit-led Christians allow God's Spirit to guide their mind and purify their motives, but lastly, this morning, they allow the Spirit of God to control their members. In our text, verses 10 through 13 deal with our bodies, our members. Back in chapter 7 of Romans, Paul discussed the law of the mind and the law of the members. And now he shows how the Spirit of God raised Jesus' body from the dead and teaches us that the Holy Spirit can take control of the very members of our body and bring us into spiritual victory. Because of sin in our bodies, we're still subject to death, but our spirit is made alive by the Holy Spirit at the moment of salvation. And at the resurrection, these bodies of ours will be clothed with life immortal. What a great day that will be. The words mortal and immortal refer to the body. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 53 and 54. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Amen. And while these verses of Romans chapter 8 primarily refer to the coming resurrection, they also teach us that the Holy Spirit of God can give us victory over the flesh today. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful for that. Amen. In chapter 12, Paul begs Christians to submit their bodies, their members, as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. Surrender is one of the most important steps to a life of victory because our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit of God. And God desires to have supreme authority or sovereignty over our bodies, over His temple, so He can have control over our lives. And this reminds me of what Paul told the church at Ephesus in Ephesians 5:18, and be not drunk with wine or in his excess, but be, what did he say? Filled with the Spirit. I want you to think about this a minute. Ephesians 5, verse 18, he says, be not drunk with wine or his excess, but be filled with the Spirit. The application Paul is saying is, look, don't be controlled by another substance, be filled and controlled by the Spirit of God. And you know the beauty of Acts chapter 2 of the day of Pentecost when the Spirit of God comes down to the church and revival takes place? When you read that, you know, you study that the mockers were saying, these men are drunken with new wine. We're living in a day when so many people's lives are controlled by so many types of addictions and struggles, and yet the Spirit of God says, look, I want to bring revival in your day. But you must be submitted to the Spirit of God. Yielded to the Spirit of God. Will you give the Spirit of God control of your life today and every day? For Tony Lethbridge, his intuition saved the life of his son. I wonder this morning how important it is for you and I to be filled with the Spirit of God for the next generation. God is never wrong. Satan will throw everything he can at you to cause you to stumble and trip up. He'll do everything he can to get you disillusioned or to discourage you or to derail you. He'll do whatever he can to get you off track. But when you're led by the Holy Spirit of God, you can overcome. By the Spirit of God, I can be the Christian that God has called me to be. And by the Spirit of God, I can be the husband that God has called me to be. And by the Spirit of God, I can be the father that God has called me to be. And by the Spirit of God, I can become the staff member God wants me to be. And Pastor, I'm still working on that. I'm trying. Amen. Learning to be a staff member is a new venture for me. By the Spirit of God, I can overcome any obstacle that comes my way. And by the Spirit of God, so can you. I don't know what will come your way this year. I don't know what lies ahead around the corner, but I know this. The Spirit of God can give us victory this morning. And I know this, by the Spirit of God, we can see revival in our day. And by the Spirit of God, we can reach a world of nearly 8 billion people with the gospel message of Jesus Christ. This morning, will you yield yourself to His Spirit and ask for the fullness of His Spirit?
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.